right. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. I think if I were in the WWF, that would also be my song that plays when I'm coming into the ring. But I know I have the physique for it. And you're like, man, that's crazy. I've always thought Chris could do that. He could be a pro wrestler. All right. Hey, we are going to be moving back into the building soon. I just ask you to stay on your toes. We will keep you there on your toes with information. Of course, we want to be able to get back to our building as soon as possible. And lots of people are working very hard. Our contractors are in there all the time working on it. We've got volunteers. A lot of you guys are working to help us with some of the finishing touches. Barton Mallow, who's doing a large part of the work and overseeing the whole project, they're going above and beyond. And they're trying to get us back in for January 27th, but there's still inspections and things on the way that we just won't know until we move a little further. So that's why it's taken so long and to give you a date. But watch your email, your Facebook. I mean, by next Sunday, we got to tell you where to meet the following week, okay? So we'll give you a plan, all right? Just drive to both locations and see where it looks like something's going on. I don't know. No, we won't do that to you, all right? We'll keep you informed. Well, you want to open up your Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 2. That's where we're going to camp out for most of the morning. And we are continuing our series. This is part 2 in Life to the Max. Jesus said this to his disciples and really to all the hearers that were there. He said, "The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life. His followers may have life, real life, and have it to the full." We started looking at this last week, and we recognized that many things in this world can play the role of the thief that kills us, that destroys us, that steals from us. But Jesus offers real life, and he calls it living to the max. Last week, we explored maximum hope. This is the gospel message. This is our most urgent message to the world. It's how we obtain, how we receive that life in the first place. And it's by coming to Christ, by entering into a personal relationship with Jesus, the God-man, by putting our trust in him as our Lord and our Savior. You can turn down the mic just a little. I'm bouncing off the back. Normally, I don't like saying that, but I hear it. Randy's thinking it. So I just, for his sake, I thought I'd say it out loud. For more on the last week's message, check out our YouTube channel, check out our podcast. It is our most urgent message, so if you missed it, go check it out, please, and share it. But today, we're discovering maximum support. Maximum support. These are the things that we need most to grow in our life with Jesus. It's the support that's offered in Christ through all the seasons of this life, good and bad. It's vital nourishment and encouragement for max living in this world and also into eternity. It can be summed up in our main idea. You want to get your outline out and get ready to write down our main idea that we're going to unpack this morning. It goes like this: connect with Christian living. Connect with Christian living. The Bible teaches that when a person puts his or her trust in Jesus, a new life has begun. That's not the end, that's the beginning. That's where everything takes off. That's where the new life begins. That's a newborn life in Christ that now needs nourishment to grow, needs connection with Christian living to flourish and see God's will in his life, in her life, God's perfect and pleasing and good will in increasing measure. And so last Sunday, we looked at the book of Acts chapter 2, and the book of Acts highlights early church history, the first generation of the church. We have this in the pages of the book of Acts in the New Testament. And what we looked at last week was the Apostle Peter giving this first public gospel presentation. He got up in front of everybody and he talked about Jesus who died for our sins and arose from the dead. And the people said, "Well, what should we do about that?" And he said, "You need to trust in Jesus. You need to repent and turn to him for forgiveness of your sins." And the people responded by trusting in Jesus. They received that maximum hope, that life that only Jesus offers. Today we're going to pick it up in the next verse. So get in there at verse 41. 1, I believe, verse 41. I put 42 maybe on the slide if it comes up, but we're going to back it up a little bit. And look at the very next thing that happens here. And you can help me out when we get to the yellow print as it comes up. It begins, it says, those who accepted his message, the gospel message, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. It goes on. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. All right. And so this is the new community here of what I'm going to call Max Lifers. Sounds like a prison sentence when I say it like that, but think of it as a good thing, all right, in this context. And this community of Max Lifers is growing, and their major characteristic, as you read all these things that they were doing together, is their major characteristic is they're doing life together with each other and with the Lord. To connect is our second step in our discipleship process here at Stony. It's there on the back of your program. You can see all four of our buzzwords around here. They help track where you are in growing in your relationship with God. They also help us as a ministry to always be thinking, how are we helping people move to the next thing? But I want to define the word connect. What does it mean to connect with Christian living? Well, on your outline, write this down. It means to build your relationship with God and his people. That's what this early church is doing here, and it nourished them to continue to grow. 3,000 that day, but as you continue to read through the book of Acts, the church is spreading like wildfire. It's going gangbusters, all these other things. I don't even know what going gangbusters means, I'll be honest with you. I'll look that up later on. And so we want to look at this connection that they had with Christian living. We're going to unpack this main idea by looking at three Christian life connections. Not love connections. It's not Christian mingle up here. Life connections. Connections to God and his people that nourish this life. And the first one you want to write down is celebration. It's celebration. Now, I know that some might not use the term celebrate to describe their church experience. Of course, not here at Stony Creek Church, you know. But I know that the church has had a bad reputation of making itself boring. Some churches do that. But of course, the God in the Bible is a lot of things, but none of them are boring. None of them are boring. He's awesome, and he's to be celebrated and worshiped. Now, church isn't happy all the time. We need to deal with hard, difficult, tough topics, heavy topics here at church, because this life brings heavy things, and we need to deal with those. But church should always be engaging. Leaders should always be helping us to engage with God, with his word, with his people. Of course, we should come ready to engage. Our attitude is key when we show up. Are you ready to celebrate who God is and what he's done when you come here in the morning? I hope you are. I hope you remember to prepare yourself. You see, to keep us engaged and growing, God has given us lots of ways. All through the Bible, his people, he's given them ways to celebrate who he is and what he's done for them. I'll give you some examples in the Old Testament. Moses and some of the other Old Testament leaders would teach Israel to sing songs together. And the songs would recite the many things that God has done for them and the awesomeness of who he is. And it was to engage and teach about that. That's why we still do those kinds of things today. We sing these songs to learn about God and to celebrate what he has done for us and to rejoice. When the Hebrews were in the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness, God gave them instructions to build a tent called the tabernacle. And the whole thing, it was in the center of the community. It was built to, they moved around, but wherever they moved, it was always in the center of the community. And it was the center of their public worship of God. And the spaces and the articles and different things in this tent, they taught things about who God is and how we experience him. It engaged the five senses with different actions and tastes and smells. There was also lots of celebratory feasts. If you're reading through the Old Testament, right now I'm reading the Stony Creek two-year Bible plan. I know I'm coming up pretty soon to a lot of these feast celebrations. And you read over them. Why were these assigned? They were assigned to be an interactive way as a community that we learn about God, what he's done, who he is, who he says we are, like we just sang, and what we do about it. And they were also a way to teach the next generation. He said, hey, when you do all of these things, when you experience all these different celebrations and interactions and engagements, let your kids be there. And when they ask you, why in the world are we doing this? Why is this herb so bitter, Dad? Well, there's a reason. It means something. And you were to teach the next generation and pass on in an engaging way, multi-sensory way, learning about God, celebrating him. And that is key to connecting with Christian living. Well, when Jesus comes around to his earthly ministry, all right, in the New Testament, he gave the church some new ways to celebrate together. And we're going to write some of them down. The first one there on your outline is baptism. Baptism. Jesus gave these marching orders to the church, and we're still doing them today. Our mission statement here at Stony, which is to make more and better followers of Jesus, is based on the Great Commission. And this is what he says in the first part of it. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Now, the ritual of baptism predates the church. It was going on before Jesus established his church, but when Jesus gave this as a command, he was assigning new and deeper meaning to baptism, the way he commanded us to do it. It's explained in the pages of the New Testament. It's a symbol of death and burial and resurrection. It reenacts Jesus' death for our sins on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, a new life where he beat death for all who trust in him. And it also proclaims as we undergo baptism that we have died to our sins, as Jesus died for our sins. As Jesus was buried, we buried our old life that was apart from Christ. And as Jesus was raised physically to life there that first Easter morning, we have also been raised to life in Christ the moment we put our trust in him as Lord and Savior. That's what baptism is proclaiming. It's a celebration. It's a celebration to, it doesn't save us. The water isn't magic. We had a baptism here, very hot baptism here just last month or a couple months ago now. And this was just water pumped in from over there. It's not magical in any way. It's a symbol of what's already happened, that Jesus saved our lives, that he gave us life to the max that goes on forever in relationship with him into eternity. And I want to proclaim that, and so I'm getting baptized today. And that's what we were doing. In Acts, we read that it said, those who accepted his message, that was what Peter proclaimed, the gospel, were baptized. And so I want to tell you, if you're here today and you're a Christian, you've put your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior, but you haven't taken that step to be baptized yet, I'd like you to write on your connection card in your program. We're having the offering at the end of the service today, so you're going to have an opportunity to put that in that bag when it comes around. Let us know you're looking to get baptized. I'm excited for the first baptism we're going to get to have back at our building, and we'll make sure it isn't boiling, all right? And we'll make sure it isn't freezing, too. We'll get it just right, all right? But we want to get that on the calendar. So let us know if you're looking to be baptized so we can pick a date to get that on the calendar. And we want to celebrate that with you as a church. It's so important. It nourishes us and cheers us on in our faith. Another celebration that Jesus gave us is communion. Write down communion. Here, we see it twice in our passage in Acts chapter 2. We see it at first where it says they devoted themselves to a bunch of things. One of them is to the breaking of bread. And then we see, if we skip down a little bit here in the passage, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Breaking bread is a reference to fellowship, and also it's a reference to communion among these new believers. Sharing in communion together was at the heart of this new community of Christians. It was at the heart of it because Jesus commanded his church to share in this memorial meal together, to remember his broken body for our sins, his poured out blood to ransom us so that we could be brought back into life with him. It's a solemn occasion. It's a solemn celebration, but a celebration nonetheless. It's reflective, remembering Jesus' death. And what it does is by celebrating communion regularly as a church, we're keeping the gospel message at the very heart of our community. Every time these guys were in Acts were breaking bread together, they're remembering the Lord who broke bread and said, "This is like my body that'll be broken for you. This is like my blood that'll be poured out." And we're commanded to do it too. Now, I know that in some circles, again, of course, not here, so why am I even talking about it? But some people like to skip Communion Sundays because they think, "I've heard that before. It's just the same thing. He's going to read the same 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to say, and yes, it's important, but I mean, I get it now. I've been a Christian for years." No, 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 my friends. Oh, don't skip communion. This is a commandment from Jesus for us to observe this celebration, and it's for a reason, to keep the gospel at the center of our lives. For us to remember, to engage our senses. We read the scripture, we taste the bread and the juice. We can smell it, we can taste it, it engages all the senses, and we remember the gospel. So don't skip Communion Sundays. And then last on our list of celebrations, write down the Sunday services. Our Sunday services are a celebration. The passage reads here, in Acts it says, "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. For this, this was for corporate worship and for learning from the apostles. They were teaching them and organizing them. And at this time, while they're getting organized, they're meeting daily. But as time goes on, we see in the book of Acts and in the rest of the New Testament, they begin meeting regularly on Sundays because Jesus arose on Sunday. They called it the Lord's Day. And it's a day that we set aside in our week to celebrate our God who beat death, who arose from the dead. That's why we sing. That's why we clap. That's why we should be filled with joy. I know that this world hurts. You know this world hurts. Everybody in here is struggling with something, I'm sure, this week. We have relationship struggles, financial struggles, health struggles. There may be people mourning here, or they know a loved one is coming near the time where they're going to be called home, and you're about to mourn. But when we come together on Sundays, friends, we always have a reason to celebrate. We always have a reason for real joy because our Lord beat death for us. Jesus is alive. Jesus rose from the dead. And anything this world can do to me will never take away the joy, can never take away the joy. The world can try to be the thief, but life is in what Jesus did. And we celebrate that every Sunday. Prioritize the Sunday services, guys. Be here every Sunday. If you go on vacation, find a church there. I like going when we go up north to my wife's family's cabin. I like checking out other churches up there and just seeing what's going on with my brothers and sisters up in the Traverse City area. All right, go. Make sure you're celebrating every Sunday. It's the Lord's Day. Celebrate with your brothers and sisters in Christ, your risen Savior. All right, the second Christian life connection we want to look at, write this down, is communication. Communication is the lifeblood of our relationship with God and his people. Well, I'm going to focus in more on God on this one. No relationship grows without communication. You know, after Jesus himself, Leah, my wife, is the most important human being in the world to me. All right, she even beats out my kids, and I love my kids deeply, deeply. I didn't say she beats my kids. Okay, I heard that, Ken. You know, I can hear you guys, right? I mean, you know this isn't a screen. Okay, just checking. Yeah, I'm teasing. I love Leah deeply. But, you know, there's those times where it's been a few days, we've put the kids to bed, and she's on her iPad on the couch, and I'm on my laptop in my chair, and we realize that we haven't really communicated. Not really. Maybe just like, "Oh, you're getting the kids after basketball or whatever today." Like maybe those things, but not really connecting communication for maybe a day or two. Maybe even it's like you know, wow, it's Friday, and I don't know if I've actually sat and just looked at my wife in the eyes and talked with her this week yet, you know? And I think if you know, every marriage in here can relate to that, I hope you can, even the best ones. You're like, wow, Chris, sounds like you need counseling. Okay, all right. But it's not that I'm out of love with Leah. We know we love each other. We're both there. We're both on board. We're both committed to one another. We just haven't prioritized in the last couple of days connecting. And yet, if we don't get on that and take care of that, you know, things can go south quick. We can start bickering. We can start getting maybe resentful and, you know, why didn't you do the dishes yesterday and that kind of thing, you know, and snipping at each other, it can go real south. Well, the same is true with the Lord. You know, the same is true with the Lord. We see here in the passage, it says that this community of believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to prayer. The apostles' teaching and to prayer. I want you to write down on your outline here, Bible and prayer. You see, when the apostles were teaching, they were doing it, and it was God speaking. They were inspired by the Lord, and they were given this material to teach the church. It was accompanied by signs and wonders, this evidence that, hey, this is from the Lord. And today, church, we've got contained in the pages of the Bible, we've got that God-inspired teaching. Every time we open the book, God is talking to us. Every time we open this book. And he has the power to do miracles in our lives as we meet with him, as we trust in him, as we follow him, as we go to him. He has the power to do signs and miracles and wonders in our lives to show that he's there and he's taking care of us. But we need to meet with them. You see, just like my relationship with Leah, Christians struggle with daily, consistent Bible reading and real time of prayer with their God. And it's not that you don't love him, and it's not that you're not a Christian. You do love him, you do trust him, you may even be serving in ministry and coming to church regularly and plugged into a small group, but if you're not reading that, you're not connecting the lifeblood of that relationship. You're not connecting with the Lord. The Bible is hearing what he has to say, praying to him. You get to talk to God, and I'll say that again because it blows me away every time. You get to talk to God. Now, we know he can hear us because he's everywhere, he's all present, but he listens to us too. He wants to hear from us. A difference with me and Leah and us and God is that if Leah and I haven't connected in a few days and she realizes that, and so she comes over and to the chair where I'm at and starts talking with me, I can get irritated because I'm like, I'm doing something on my laptop. Like, I'm just clueless, right? And here she's trying to connect with me, and now I'm the jerk, you know, is not connecting back. Never the case with the Lord. He's always there. He's always talking to us. He's always reaching out. He's always saying, come and meet with me. If you're looking for a way this year, I know January is a great time to read Genesis, because everybody's starting, this is the year I'm going to read the whole Bible. Well, you know what? Make that commitment. Make that commitment, but you don't even need to start with Genesis if you've done that before. We've got the Stony Creek 2-year Bible reading plan, and they're available at the Welcome Center. They look like this, and technically, we are in year 2 of the 2-year journey, but it doesn't matter when you start. You're reading all the books of the Bible. You get a little bit of New Testament and Old Testament. It keeps going back and forth from book to book. When you get finished with a book in the New Testament, you'll go into the Old Testament for a while, and then you'll come back. And so pick one of those up and, you know, put a reminder on your phone. I have a reminder on my phone to read the Bible every day. Yes, I still have one, even now. I've been a pastor almost 15 years now, and I still have a reminder every day to read my Bible, all right? And it reminds me to get off social media and pull up my Bible app or get out the old paper copy like Moses had that was bound exactly like this by Zondervan. All right. We need communication. It's the lifeblood of our relationship with God. And we can do all kinds of things for God, but God doesn't want us to just be busy for him. He doesn't want us to have just known about facts about him because we learned it in a Bible study. He wants to connect with us in his word and in prayer. We need it. We need it. And it's how we grow. Finally, the third thing we're going to look at there on your outline, the third Christian life connection is community. Write down community. Our passage in Acts 2 is just heavy with references to the community of Christians. I'm going to read through it again and just kind of skip through as we go. You could just look in Acts chapter 2, or you can look on the screen where I've got the skips in there for you. It says 3,000 were added to their number. Their number. Just tuck that away for a minute. They devoted themselves to fellowship. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. They continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And it goes on to say, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This loving community that is knitting itself together so tightly that they're counted together. All right? They're counted together. They're a group, and they're a recognized, numbered group. They're devoted to doing life together. They're devoted to each other and being there. They're sharing with one another. You have a need? I've got something I can sell to meet your need. They're meeting each other's needs. They're looking out for one another. They're celebrating together. They're meeting in each other's homes. They're opening up their homes to one another to come and eat and fellowship. And it says, what's the product of that? God is growing that group. It says God continued to add to their number those that were being saved. They were devoted to each other and to the Lord and community. And that community that's devoted to one another keeps growing because God grows that healthy community. One of the biggest draws for people to go to church ought to be the love and care we have for one another. That ought to be attractive to people. You know, when I talk about our church family here with my friends outside the church and I say, yeah, I got these Omaha steaks from somebody. By the way, you don't have to get me gifts. That wasn't me fishing for more. Is he saying we need to send him Omaha steaks? No, you do not. But I talk about a gift I received from somebody just saying, oh, thanks for, you know, your work over here. And I think, man, that what a blessing that somebody just thought of me and did that. Or I share that, you know, yeah, our small group, somebody was hurting and it was cool because, you know, we rallied around this family to help them out. They had a sick child and we wanted to just do something for them because we love these guys. And I talk about this like with my family members outside of the church or my neighbors outside the church, and they think, wow, like you guys are really committed to each other. That just, I guess, hasn't been their experience with church. And I know that church hasn't always been characterized that way. Sometimes it's known to be the opposite, just a real cold place where people don't care about one another. They're just biting and gossiping all the time. And we want to fight against that and guard against that. Now, I want to say that if you don't attend church, then it's impossible to get connected to that kind of community. But here's the thing. You're all here hearing my voice right now. So good job. That's, I guess, just for people checking out a podcast. Hey, come to our service. Okay. And I love you. But let me go further than that with you here this morning. If you only come for an hour on Sunday, and maybe you see some nice people and it's friendly, that's good. But then you go home and there's no other connection with the community outside that, it's going to be hard to get the benefit of that community, to get that support, that maximum support that we need. And it's hard to give it to other people because you don't know the needs. You're not rubbing shoulders with other folks. And so I want to give us a couple of ways that you can take a next step to be sure you're really getting connected with the community here at Stony, just like they were here in Acts chapter 2. The first thing you could write down is the 9:30 teaching time. The 9:30 teaching time. We just had it. It was great over there across the hallway. And when we get back to the building, you know, we'll be doing that, and we're hoping to maybe get a teaching time going on Wednesdays down the road a little bit. But let me explain. This teaching time is cool because you're getting the Bible from Randy. He's teaching it, but it's more of a classroom-type setting. There's more interaction. It's a smaller group. You can come in, grab your coffee, sit down, rub shoulders with other believers as you're studying God's Word together in a classroom-type setting. And it's just a way to start fellowshipping and connecting a little bit more outside of the regular Sunday service. Another great way that you want to write down is our connection nights. Now, as we've been mobile, our connection nights have been on hold, but I'm happy to report that we're already starting to plan to get these Wednesday connection nights rolling again later in February. You'll be hearing that. First, we got to get back into the building, okay? We'll deal with that first, and then we'll start talking about when connection nights are going. But we're getting ready for that, and this is a time where we've got the Stony Cafe. Kristen Russell and her team put together a meal so you can come at 6 o'clock with your family after work or whatever you got going on during the day, school, and you come and you just get to enjoy a meal together with the rest of the church body. And then we split into lots of different things. There's youth group that night. There's a kids program that night. There's a women's Bible study that night. There's a devotion time and service time for men that night. And like I said, we're hoping to add some of that teaching time content there later on down the road. And so this is a great way to connect in a family atmosphere, again, in smaller groupings. And you're doing life together. You're getting to know people better. But our largest vehicle for helping people to connect in community here at Stony Creek Church is our small groups. Write that down, small groups. These are groups that meet for Bible study and prayer and usually some food, one of my favorite parts about it, at different homes. And there's 18 or 19 of these groups all over Macomb County and even a few in Oakland County. And these groups are meeting nearly every day of the week. I perused it, and just about every day of the week has got a day or evening where one of these groups regularly meets, usually every other week. But, you know, you can figure out the one that works best with your schedule. And there's different kinds of groups. There's men's groups and women's groups, and there's young adult groups. And you can get to know the different group leaders to find out, hey, these people have young kids like I have young kids, so maybe this is a good one. Or these folks are mostly like their kids are grown, like my kids are grown, so I'm going to go hang out with them. We're going through sort of the same phase of life. You don't have to be relegated to that. If your kids are grown up, you're still welcome in my group where I've got young kids, but you might relate better, you know, and you can find just what works for you, where you connect the best. So here's how you can find out more about that. Visit my.stonycreek.church, all right? And if you go there, it looks like this, and then you watch this. You click small groups. I was hoping you would do that. That was not choreographed. That just means my slide guy is, like, melding with me right now. Yeah, you click on small groups, and you can see here, there's just a ton of groups listed up there. Ooh, look at this cute little family. They look particularly nice and studious of the Bible. All right. Or, you know, another thing that you could do is simply on that connection card, since we are doing the offering at the end, write down, I'm interested in small groups, and put that there in the offering bag when it comes around, and our small group director, Andy Barba, will contact you and say, hey, what are you looking for to get connected? But that's where we do life together. My small group, I just love my small group so much. I love that our kids play together and look forward to, we're having small group later tonight, and there's 5 families that come over. It's a million kids in there. We've got 12 adults and a million children, it feels like anyway, like that. Or I guess, nope, 5 couples, that'd be 10 adults. I did the math, redid the math there. That was pastor math. We're back. But I love our group. I look forward to our group every single time we have it. Our kids look forward to it. Whenever we don't have small group, you know, Ben will say, oh, we got small group this Sunday. No, it's next week, buddy. Aw. Like, he's genuinely bummed out that we don't have small group, whether we're going to somebody's house or they're coming to ours. But we're doing life together. We care about each other's needs. If somebody's hurting, you know, we want to rally around them, pray for them, see if there's ways we can get them a meal or visit with them or help them. And we've got each other's back. I feel they've got my back, and it's wonderful. So there's some ways you can get connected if you're not connected. But before we close the service here, now I want to talk to those of us that are connected for a minute, all right? Those of us that feel like we are connected here at Stony Creek Church. You see, our mission is to make more and better followers of Jesus. And this means we need to be looking for opportunities to help others to get connected, all right? And so just roll with me here for a minute. How are you helping other people to feel connected to the community here at Stony Creek Church? What's your role in that? In the book of Acts here, when 3,000 were added to the number of the early church, you know, it probably got really hard for Peter to personally be involved in all of those people's lives, right? I mean, when it was 120 in the upper room and there were 12 apostles, that's a good ratio, all right? They could, oh, yeah, we could do, you know, there's groups of 10 there. Perfect. That's a small group each. You know, Bartholomew's leading one and the other guy. And there was, like, another disciple. I just couldn't think of another one past that. I don't know why he was the one I thought of. 3,000, though, you can't do it anymore. And so the job is bigger than just the leaders, church, family. Just like last week when we were talking about sharing the gospel, we said it isn't just the job of the pastor or the evangelist to share the gospel. It's all of us. We're all called and sent out by Jesus to go and share the good news, right? And it's the same thing with helping people to connect with Christian living, all right? Randy knows a lot about what's going on, different people's struggles here in the church, but of course he doesn't know what's going on in every one of our lives, and he couldn't, and I don't, and the other leaders, but I'm sure there's something going on in every single person's life here, good or bad. But when you're connected with a small group, you're connected with a ministry team, that's where people start seeing that, and so we need to be welcoming. If you're in a small group, you're already connected. Are you reaching out to others and inviting them into your small group? Are you looking for those opportunities? I know it can be very comfortable to, we've got our perfect little small group, and you do that, feel that connection, you're benefiting. When I was talking about that, you're like, yeah, I get that, 100%. But the idea of welcoming somebody new into it, might not be a priority. Make it a priority to look for people that aren't connected and invite them to connect with Christian living with you and your group. When you're here on Sunday and you see somebody that you haven't talked to before, introduce yourself to them. Maybe they're brand new that day. Maybe they've been attending this church longer than you've been attending the church. But if you've never connected with them before, just say, hey, have we met? Have we talked before? They say, yeah, I'm your uncle. No, I'm just... You might be the very connection they needed that morning. So look for those opportunities to help people connect with Christian living. Connect with Christian living is our main idea. We celebrate our life in Jesus by getting baptized, by prioritizing Sunday services and even communion, especially communion. We connect with Christian living in the Word of God and in prayer. And we connect with Christian living by doing life together with one another, looking out for one another, praying and meeting each other's needs. Where can you grow in 2019 in this area? Where can you be the support, be part of God's maximum support in somebody else's life? And where do you need that maximum support in your life? If you're just wondering where to start, and you're like, okay, I heard some of these different ideas. I just need a little more coaching in this, Chris. Hey, put it on a connection card and I'll contact you this week. I mean it. And we'll figure out what's next for helping you get connected with Christian living. I'm going to invite the band up here. We're going to have our offering in just a couple of moments. And so the band can come up and get ready for that. As they're coming up, I just want to talk to the person who might be here. And you say, this connecting with Christian living sounds good, but I don't know if I've ever entered into this max life that you're talking about in the first place. And so real briefly, as the band's getting ready, I just want to talk to you and say, Jesus is Lord. That means God. All right? Our sin, humanity's sin, yours, mine, started with Adam and Eve, separated all of humanity from God. He created us to be with him here and into eternity, but we separated ourselves from him. But when Jesus came, when he became man, he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sin. He suffered the separation from God the Father in our place so that if we trust in him, if we throw ourselves on Jesus, we can be restored to relationship with God the Father here on earth and into eternity. That is the message of life to the max. That's how you receive it. You throw yourself on Jesus. If you'd like to do that today, you could do it right now, even as we're about to pray over this offering. You could just offer yourself to God and say, I know that I've sinned, that I'm apart from you, but I recognize that Jesus is Lord, that he died on the cross for my sins, and he arose from the dead, and I trust in him as my God, as my Savior. Pray that. Offer yourself to God while we're praying over this offering here this morning. If you have more questions or would like to talk with somebody, we've got our pastoral prayer team here after the service down here. I know because we're mobile, we go right into packing up chairs and the hustle and the bustle of everything. I got to get involved in that. but we've set a ministry aside here. These folks that are down here to pray with you, they are not going to be busy folding chairs. They are here to talk with you and pray with you. And so don't let all the busyness or loudness or anything distract you from getting right with the Lord today. Make that decision about your eternity, okay? Before you make a decision about where to go for lunch later. All right? Let's pray over this morning's offering together. Heavenly Father, thank you for gathering us here this morning to worship you, to celebrate who you are and what you've done for us. Lord, I pray you would draw us closer into connection with you and with your people, and that we would receive that maximum support that comes from a growing and building relationship with the living God. What a privilege to be able to talk to God and for him to listen. Thank you, Lord, that you hear us and that you interact with our lives. God, may everybody here draw closer and experience an increasing measure the maximum support that's offered in connecting with you and your people. Lord, as we give you this offering, we do it not to pay you back for the things you've done for us, because we could never do that. We wouldn't even try. We do it to worship you. We worship you with this giving. And we pray that every dollar that comes in would be used to advance your kingdom, your will, your plan for this world, your plan for people to cross over from death to life, and then to go on and help others to cross over from death to life. Lord, may that be what happens here at Stony, whether we're here at Shelby or back at our building or wherever we find ourselves out in the world. May your kingdom be advancing. We give you this with glad and sincere hearts. Accept the offering, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.